Hello, I'm Kathy Davidson, and I welcome to our women's meeting. And I thank you that you have joined us. We have a group of women here that are endeavoring to walk in the kingdom of God, to walk in the power of the gospel. And I ask you to join us. Join your faith with ours, because I'm not the only one here with faith. We all do, and we're using it. And I ask you to join us, join your faith with ours, and let God minister to you. Let's open with prayer. My Heavenly Father, I thank you. My Heavenly Father, I thank you. Let your power of the Lord be great. Father, let the power of the Lord be great. Open our eyes that we can see. Open our ears that we can hear. Open our hearts like you did for Lydia, that we can attend unto the things which are spoken. Turn us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto you. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. If you will turn with me to John 10:35, we're going to start with this verse. Before I start, I'm going to ask you a question, just real quick, kind of off the subject, but how do you know that God loves you? Some would say you feel it, and that is not true. That is not true. How do you know that God loves you? The Word of God says He does. The Word of God says He does. Now, with that answer, look at John 10:35. It says, Jesus speaking, he said, if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came. And this next part, you know, it's one of my favorite verses. And the scripture cannot be broken. The scripture cannot be broken. You can't change the scriptures that cannot be broken. And it says, for God so loved you. And it states, it is written, for God so loved you. That's how you know that God loves you. And when you believe it, when you put your faith and trust, when you put your trust in that word, then it starts to manifest in your life that God loves you because the word says he does. And that's what your trust has to be in. You cannot go by your feelings. Your feelings sometimes depends on if you had chocolate or not. We cannot go by our feelings. Now, with that, we're going to look today. It's funny, I thought I was going to do something else, and at 5 o'clock this morning, God started talking, and he gave me a different message, and I love it. I want you to turn with me. We're going to begin in Luke 5. What we're going to do today is we're going to look at the relationship, how Jesus dealt with Peter. You know, it says in Romans, God is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter of persons. Do you believe that scripture? The scripture cannot be broken. God is no respecter of persons. It says that several times in the scriptures. So the way Jesus deals with Peter is the exact way he's going to deal with you. Peter, if you will get this in your heart, was not special. He had a job to do. But Peter was not special. Jesus didn't love Peter more than he loved John. Jesus didn't love Peter more than he loved Matthew. No, Jesus is no respecter of persons, and he loves us all the same. Peter had a job to do, but there is a wonderful message in here. If you will look, if we will look at how Jesus deals with Peter, because it's the way he deals with us. He won't change. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So in Luke 5, we're going to go to verse 1. I'm going to begin there. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he had already been in Capernaum. He said, the people came to hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, Peter's. And he prayed, Peter, that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. If you've ever seen a picture of where this happened, it's amazing. The land makes a little cove on the lake, and it looks almost like you could put bleachers on there. And when Peter thrust out his boat a little bit into the water, it was a great amphitheater. It was a great amphitheater. You could see how Jesus easily spoke. And the hill around him that encircled this cove was just an amphitheater. So anyway, it says he entered into one of the ships, which is Simon's, and prayed Simon that he would thrust out a little of the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he taught everyone. And when he was done speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. Now that you've let me use your boat, take the boat out and drop your nets. And Simon answered Jesus, and he said, Master, Master. Notice he's already calling him Master. Why? He just heard Jesus speak. He just heard a sermon from Jesus. I think everybody would be calling him Master after they listened to him. And he said, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, because you said so, I'll let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish and their net brake. Now remember, this is Jesus' profession. This is his career. He's a fisherman. He knows how to fish. He knows when the fish are in season. He knows when they're out. He knows when they're up. He knows when they're down. He's a fisherman. And now he's got a net full of fish when he fished all night and took nothing. And they beckoned unto their partners, which are in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and they filled both the ships. So the ships began to sink. They didn't pick up just three fish here, folks. We're talking the mother load. Peter watches this. He says they filled up both ships so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. Why? He had just witnessed a miracle. And you know how he knew it was a miracle? He was a fisherman. He was a fisherman. This was a miracle in front of his eyes. And he said, when he saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. When he saw the miracle, he realized he was in the presence of somebody that knew God. And he's on his knees. And what's the first thing that Peter says? Depart from me, I am a sinful man. You talk about convicted. You talk about convicted. You say, isn't this odd? Wait till God does a miracle like that for you. I understand how Peter went right to the knees. Because you're had. You're had. In a moment's time, you see God working. And you see that you aren't deserving of it. The first miracle that God did to me like this to get my attention. We had just come to Water of Life. He had just gotten a way that we could buy a house. And we were at the house. And like I said, we moved into the house. And we had to use a credit card to get window coverings and a refrigerator. Because who wants to move into a house that nothing covers the windows? And frankly, I just didn't want to put sheets up. So we used the credit card. I got the bill for the credit card. I opened up the bill. I just walked from the mailbox. I opened the bill up. Nobody's in the house. It's just me. And I think Kristen and Evan wasn't even there yet. So it was just me and Kristen. So I open up the bill and I look at it and my eyes roll. It's $2,000. A credit card bill for $2,000 is a whole lot when you don't have $2,000. I didn't call anybody and tell them, well, I got the credit card and it's $2,000. I mean, it was $2,000. And I'm standing there and I'm thinking, okay, how are we going to do this? it's going to take me 2 years to pay this credit card off. And I just looked up and I said, Jesus, thank you for the house. But I sure wish I had $2,000 to pay this credit card. Not 5 minutes later, there's a knock on the door. I open the door, front door. This is Frisco, and Frisco had nobody in it. 3,000 people lived in Frisco when I moved to Frisco. I think it's 300,000 now. I mean, it's 150,000 or something like that. Anyway, I open the door. It's somebody I know. They said, hi, God told me to give you this. And they handed me an envelope, and they split. They took off. I said, okay, thanks. So they leave. I close the door. I walk in the living room, and I open up the envelope, and there is $2,000 cash in this envelope. Nobody knew but God. Just like Peter, I hit my knees. My God, he's real. He's real. Now what do I do? He's real. I pray God does something like that for you youngins that are just walking with Jesus, that he does that for you. Anyway, Simon Peter saw it, fell down at Jesus' knees, and he said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. He was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fish which they had taken. And so it was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto him, notice this. What's the first thing Peter says? He says, depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord. I am a sinful man. Thank God Peter doesn't tell us what his sins were. I don't want to know. But he says, I am a sinful man, O Lord. So what does Jesus say to him? Okay, Simon, come back and find me when you get your life straightened out. Is that what Jesus said? Come back to me when you got that straightened out. Jesus took Peter on right here. He took Peter on right here. He knew he was going to take Peter on when he borrowed Peter's boat. But he took Peter on in the place where Peter was. In the sinful place Peter was is when Jesus took him on. Do you see that? He took him just the way he came. Do you know that's how Jesus handles all of us? That if Jesus did that with Peter, he will do that with us. He will take you in the position that you are when he shows up. No matter how much sin you are in, that is where he will meet you and take you. That's the condition he took Peter in. He took Peter on when Peter said, I am a sinful man. And look what Jesus says to him. He says, fear not, from henceforth thou'll catch men. From henceforth that thou wilt catch men. And right there is where Peter left it all. And he followed Jesus. He left it all. I love it. Jesus takes you in the condition you are in when you come to him. You know what? Jesus is not a bit afraid of sin. He's not a bit afraid of sin. He's not a bit afraid of the condition you are in. You don't know how bad it is. Jesus is not afraid of the condition that you are in. Jesus created the ground you stand on. Your condition doesn't frighten him one bit. Do you know that Jesus could create different ground if he needed to? He will take you in the condition you are in. Now, turn with me to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. And this is a conversation between Peter and Jesus. And Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And look at this. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And then he asked them, he asked all of them, he said, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Now, if you've been walking with Jesus and you start seeing these miracles, you know, I don't know about you, but if Jesus would ask me a question, it's like when Doyle asks you a question, you're like, you start to sweat. Because the first thing you're thinking is, why are you asking me this? And what did I do? And what do I need delivered from? But Jesus asked him, he said, whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered. The others didn't answer, Simon Peter did. And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is the man that was the sinner. Depart from me, I am a sinful man. And this is what Peter says. He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Look at Jesus' answer. And Jesus answered and said unto Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee. It's not what you heard. That is not what you heard. That is not what you saw. That's not what you read. He said, but my Father, which is in heaven, revealed that to you. Jesus didn't reveal it to him. Jesus didn't reveal it to him. The Father did. The Father took that sinful man, oh Lord, and he revealed to Peter that was the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, Jesus didn't reveal himself to everybody. If you read, they asked him, who art thou? And he didn't answer them straight out. There was only a handful that he revealed, that they knew, or that he revealed to them that he was the Son of God. One was a lady that had been married 5 times and living with somebody. Jesus revealed himself to her. The Father showed Peter who Jesus was. And then Jesus goes on. He said, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. That rock was Jesus. It was not Peter. Peter means pebble, little stone. Jesus said, on this rock, me, Jesus. Jesus is called the rock. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That whatsoever thou bind on earth, thou shalt be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth, shall be loosed in heaven. Peter got the first, he got to be the first one that got that. He got to be the first one that got that promise. You know what that promise is to us? That promise is to us. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Oh, that is so cool. That is the keys to the kingdom of heaven. You want to get into the kingdom of heaven? You're going to have to learn how to bind and loose. You're going to have faith. Peter, he gave that to Peter. Now, isn't that cool? He's Peter. Oh, wow, now I got the revelation. I got the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. And now probably they're all looking at him going, who are you? But look what happens in verse 21. And from that time forth, I want you to see the distinction here. Jesus told Peter, you have, that the Father in heaven revealed to you that I am the Son of God. I am the Christ. Now, verse 21, a couple verses later. From that time forth, Jesus began to show in his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Peter knows this is the Son of God. But now Jesus starts telling them about the gospel. About the gospel. The gospel is 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, that Jesus died according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised again according to the scriptures. That is the gospel. The disciples did not have the gospel until now. Now, Jesus is telling them this is what's going to happen. And verse 22, and Jesus, Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Now, he knows Jesus is the Son of God, but he doesn't have a revelation of the gospel. Do you see that? He knows Jesus is the Son of God, but he does not have a revelation of the gospel. because he rebuked Jesus and said, "This be far from thee." And look what happened to lovely Peter. Jesus talks to him. And he says to Peter, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that are of God, but those that be of men." Now Jesus is talking to Satan. But Peter's the one that Satan used to open his mouth. Jesus is talking to the devil. And Jesus turned and said unto Peter that he's talking to the devil. Do you see that? He's not talking to Peter. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Peter yielded. Peter yielded his mouth. "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto thee. For thou savorest not the things that be of God." Here is a great lesson for us. We think that Christianity should be nothing but beds of roses. And Peter's saying, "This should not be unto thee. Don't let this thing happen to you." And Jesus said, "You are not savoring the things of God." Do you know some of the most beautiful, powerful things in your life are things that are not fun? Not fun is how we will put it nicely. But they are the most powerful. And that's what Jesus is telling Peter here. He said, "But those that be of men." Jesus rebukes Peter. Now, notice what Jesus does with Peter here. "Okay, Peter, since you said that, you are no longer number one apostle. Go sit down. You just lost your place." Did Jesus say that? No. No. Jesus rebuked Peter head on. Head on. But that's all. Peter never lost anything with Jesus. He never lost anything with Jesus. That is the way Jesus will treat us. When we open our mouth, and we wished we had never opened our mouths, we are not taken away. Our place is not taken away with Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love and your mercy. Now, turn with me to Luke 24. Luke 24. Oh, no, we're missing one here. Where did you go? I give thanks to Jesus. I give thanks. It's Luke 22. If you will go with me to Luke 22. And I'm going to begin in verse 31. And Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Do you know what a sifter is? How many of you women have ever sifted flour? Yeah, you put it in this colander, and in Italian it's a schoolmacaroon. You put it in this colander, and you put the flour in it, and then you shake it. Ever been there? And Jesus said, "Get ready, Peter. Here it comes. Here it comes." He says, "Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." Notice, Satan goes to God and says, "I want him." And you know what? God says, "You can have him. Thank you very much." God says, "You can have him." Why? Tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation worketh patience. I love it. A woman came to R.W. Shambach and she said, "Please pray for me that I have patience, that I have continuance." And R.W. Shambach said, "I'll do that. Father, give her tribulation." What? Give her tribulation. That's where you're going to learn how to walk. That's where you're going to learn how to use your faith. That's where you're going to learn how to stay on course. Tribulation. So, now Satan has him. "But I prayed for thee." Look at that. "I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not." Jesus didn't pray that he didn't have to go through it. Jesus prayed that he didn't lose his faith. Your faith fail not. You're going to get rocked. You're going to get shook. Jesus is telling Peter, Satan's going to get a hold of you, but I pray that your faith fail not. You know what? When Jesus prays, you get it. Peter wasn't going to lose his faith. Do you know Jesus intercedes for you? Do you know Jesus intercedes for you daily? Do you know if you won't quit, if you will stand, you won't lose your faith either? And he says, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both to prison and to death. And Jesus said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny me that thou knowest me. And if you will go down to verse 54, this is when it happened. And they took Jesus and they led him. And they brought him unto the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man also was with Jesus. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of one hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow was with him, for he's a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I knowest not what thou sayest. In another version, it says, Peter cursed and swore that he didn't know him, that he didn't know him. But Jesus said, before that cock crow, you're going to deny me thrice. And look at this. And it said, and immediately while he was yet talking, the cock crew. And look at this verse. Look at this next verse, 61. And Jesus turned. Jesus heard the cock crow. And Jesus turned and looked upon Peter. Can you imagine how hard that look must have been to receive? You had just denied a person that you said you would never deny, that you would die for. And now he's looking at you. He said, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Wept bitterly. And you know what? The next thing Peter knows, Jesus is dead. Jesus went to the cross. Peter didn't see him again. He denies him, and then the next thing he sees is Jesus being crucified. Jesus being crucified. And then they bury him. And I want you now to go to Luke 24. You know, in the way church is run this way, in a lot of churches, first thing they'd have done with Peter is said, you're out of here. You're out of here. You're excommunicated. You're fired. You're fired. And look what happens in Luke 24, verse 34. This is the way Jesus treats all of us. Jesus is no respecter of persons. He's going to treat us the same way. And in Luke 24, verse 34, they are saying, let's go to 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. And look, and has appeared unto Simon. And appeared unto Simon. I don't know about you, but there are a lot of places when I read in the Bible that I'd love to have been a fly on the wall. I'd have loved to have watched. But you know what? Not here. Too special. Can you imagine that meeting? Peter had denied him, and he's dead, buried, and now he's alive. And he appeared unto Simon privately. He didn't appear to him in front of everybody and rebuke him. He didn't. We don't know what happened in that room. But you know what? Peter came out okay. Peter came out okay. It must have been a beautiful meeting. Because Peter saw. He might not have had the revelation of it at that moment, but Peter saw that when Jesus was on that cross, that was Peter's denial Jesus was paying for. Jesus died for Peter. Jesus died for what Peter did. Jesus died for Peter's denial. He carried it on his own body for Peter to God. Peter was forgiven when Jesus was raised from the dead. Now you ask a question. I know, I can hear you. What about Judas? With all the love and the mercy you can, with all the mercy, with all the humility that you can pull up, go read Romans 9. Sometime in your off time and you'll see what happened to Judas. But with all the humility, we have got to come to a place where we fear God. I mean, fear God. Do you know Jesus feared God? He feared God enough to go to the cross when at first he didn't want to go. But it says that in submissive obedience, he went to the cross. Why? That's the fear of God. We need to fear God. Jesus met Peter. Now, turn with me to Acts real quick. Acts 1. I want to read verse 13 just so we've got it on this tape. And when they come into the upper room. This is after Jesus is risen from the dead and after he went up into heaven. He said, when they were come in, they went into the upper room, and there abode in that upper room Peter and James and John. You know what? Peter wasn't suspended. Jesus didn't tell Peter, well, now that you did that, now that you denied me, you're going to have to sit down for 8 weeks and get people to minister to you and get some counseling so that you can come back to your position. Did Jesus do that? No. When that Holy Ghost fell, Peter was right there. Peter was there. Do you know that's how Jesus will treat you? He's no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of persons. When you mess up, you're not going to lose it all. You're going to walk with Jesus. You're going to walk with Jesus. And you know what? He's going to fix you. And I want you to see here how he fixed Peter. Verse 14 of chapter 2. Now they've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. And who's the first one to stand up? Who's the first one to speak? Verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice. This is the one that denied Jesus just a couple of weeks before. And now he's standing up full of the Holy Ghost. You know how full? Turn with me to Acts 4. Verse 13. This is one of my favorite verses. Verse 15. Chapter 5, Acts, verse 15. It says, chapter 4. I'm sorry. Chapter 4, verse 13. Bible got stuck. Verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, after Jesus was buried, they went and hid. It says that they were hiding from the Jews. Why? Because they thought they were next. Jesus had just gone through a horrible execution, crucifixion. They're hiding. They're hiding from the Jews. They're not hiding anymore after the baptism in the Holy Ghost. It says, verse 13, now when the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all the people of the Sanhedrin, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, the man that was hiding a couple weeks before, it said, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Unlearned and ignorant men. Do you see who Jesus used here? They had just raised a man that had been lame from his mother's womb, 40 years old. They had just raised him up and healed him through the name of Jesus. And what did Jesus use? Unlearned and ignorant men. Do you get that? The Pharisees, the religious leaders, considered them unlearned and ignorant men. Who did Jesus use? Unlearned and ignorant men. And what did those unlearned and ignorant men do? What did they do? What did Peter do? It says that they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now turn to chapter 5, verse 15. This is what Jesus will do with an unlearned and ignorant man. Do you ever feel unlearned and ignorant sometimes in this? Like every morning? Like as soon as somebody starts talking? Unlearned and ignorant men. Look at what Jesus does with an unlearned and ignorant man. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of this unlearned and ignorant man might fall on them, might overshadow some of them, and they get healed. Do you see what Jesus used? He picked up a fisherman and he put his power in him. That wasn't Peter that was healing those people. What was Peter? A vessel. All Peter was a vessel, unlearned and ignorant vessel. What did Peter have in him? He had the Spirit of God in him. He had the Spirit of Jesus in him. Do you see what the Spirit of Jesus and the Spirit of God can do with an unlearned and ignorant man? Don't you ever think that you don't have what it takes. Because you know what? You don't. Nobody does. Nobody does. Nobody does. Look what Jesus did with a fisherman. An unlearned and ignorant fisherman. He made him a vessel of the power of God so much that when he would walk by, the power of God would heal. We all have a position with Jesus. He has a place for every one of us. He has works for every one of us. Some are seen, some are not seen. But God has a place for you, and he will take your vessel, and he will do exactly what he did with Peter. He will take your unlearned and ignorant vessel. Or if you think you're learned, he will unlearn you so that he can use your unlearned and ignorant vessel. He will take it and he will put his Spirit in it. It won't be you, it'll be him. And then he'll put the Holy Ghost in you, the Spirit of God in you. And you will do works. He has works for you. One of my favorite things I've heard from R.W. Shambach was R.W. Shambach was known all the nation over. But did you know he had a woman in his office that would answer the phone? She was on the prayer line. He might have given her name. I don't even know if he gave her name. Do you know that that woman would pray when people would call in and she, with her faith, would get them healed? And I'm not talking little things. I'm talking a man on the phone dying of a heart attack. They called her first. They called R.W. Shambach's phones first. And that woman answered. And by the time the paramedics got there, the man was healed. Do you know you can do that? Do you know God has that kind of a job for you? Not everybody's going to be a preacher. Not everybody's going to be a singer. But God has a place for you, and it's not a little place. Well, all I do is clean the church. Well, clean the church and command the devil out of the parishioners. Everybody has that. God took Peter, an unlearned and ignorant man, and made him a vessel of the power of God. And he is no respecter of persons. He will do the same for you. Amen. And you say, how do I start? You have to be born again first. You have to get the Spirit of Jesus in you first, so he can lead you down that path, so he can take you and make you something that God can use. And how do we do that? Jesus said in John 3, you must be born again. You cannot do this without being born again. That is the first step. It is necessary. Jesus said you must be born again. How are you born again? Pray with me, and we will pray to Jesus. And Jesus is here listening. Jesus, come into my heart. Be Lord of my life. Take me. Guide me. Fix me. And I ask this in your name. Amen. Welcome to the club. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Father. I thank you. I thank you, Jesus, that you're here. I thank you, Jesus, that you want to do that with every one of us. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, that you died for us. I thank you, you were buried for us. I thank you, you were raised again for us. I thank you, you carried our sicknesses. You carried our sins. You carried our poverty. You carried our fears. I thank you, you carried that on your body on the tree. And I thank you, the Father received your sacrifice for us. I give thanks. I give thanks, Jesus. I give thanks. I give thanks. Father, I thank you. I give thanks now. I give thanks now. I give thanks now. Father, I thank you. I give thanks now. I thank you. I give thanks. I give thanks. I give thanks, Father, I thank you. I give thanks. 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 Jesus, I thank you. I give thanks. I give thanks. I give thanks. Does anybody need prayer? I give thanks. I give thanks. I give thanks. I give thanks, Jesus, I thank you. Anybody in pain? I give thanks, Jesus. I give thanks, Jesus. I give thanks, Jesus. I give thanks. I give thanks. I give thanks. I give thanks, Jesus, I thank you. I give thanks. 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 I give thanks, Jesus, I thank you. I give thanks. I give thanks. I give thanks, Jesus, I thank you. I give thanks. 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 Jesus, I thank you. I give thanks. 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 I cast out fear in Jesus' name. I cast out fear now in the name of Jesus. I cast out fear. I cast out fear. I cast out fear. I cast out fear now in Jesus' name. I cast out fear now in the name of Jesus. I cast out fear now in Jesus' name. I cast out fear in the name of Jesus. I cast out fear. I cast out fear. I cast out fear. How can you be afraid when you're loves you. How come we're afraid when God loves us? How come we're afraid when He is greater than any situation around us? How can we be afraid? We are. I cast out fear in Jesus' name. I cast out fear. I cast out fear. Fear is not faith. I cast out fear. Fear is not faith. Fear is not faith. I cast out fear in Jesus' name. I cast out fear. I cast out fear in Jesus' name. I cast out fear. Somebody's getting delivered of this right now. I cast Jesus. I can see them in the spirit. I cast it out in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 That is so cool when God shows you that stuff. I give thanks. I give thanks. Everybody all right? Amen. Then I'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining Kathy Davidson and the Ministers of Music from Water of Life Church. She would love to hear from you. You may reach her by email at kd@kdwol.com. Or you may write her at Kathy Davidson, care of Water of Life Church, Post Office Box 861-327, Plano, Texas, 75086. You may find her on the internet at www.kdwol.com and on Facebook and Twitter. Until next time, God bless.